This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. Beyond the pitch, beyond the results, we're here to connect fans, getting them to embrace the highs and lows of supporting your club, because we're not just fans, we're a team. With 2 in 3 football fans having struggled with their mental health, we understand that life off the pitch can present its own challenges. That's why we're committed to ensuring you have the tools to stay connected with your friends and fellow supporters. Take a moment to connect with your mates. A simple text or an open conversation can make a world of difference. And if they don't respond right away, don't hesitate to follow up. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
This podcast is a proud member of the FanHub 100. Football without fans is nothing, so we've partnered with FanHub to put fans first. Search FanHub app to play your part in the journey.
The Custer's Black Podcast, whatever that is.
Hello.
Another season done. That just started really abruptly there.
So. Yeah, that's cool. I like it. Fast pace. For me, the longest season in existence.
Yeah, it did seem to drag, didn't it, in the end? In the end, it did, I would say.
Yeah, that last month seemed to take, like, 2 months.
Yeah, probably the gap, that week gap didn't help really.
Yeah, it didn't help.
I guess nothing really to play for apart from a bit of form, really. A bit of momentum. Yeah, I mean, that's the only thing that was in it, really. So
yeah.
He just dragged.
I mean, yeah, 8 days or whatever. Well, was it 8 days? Between, no, it was like 13 days, wasn't it?
That's what I said, 2 weeks. Yeah, exactly.
2 weeks between games right at the end of the season. It's just a bit like, it is a bit of a, oh, can we just get this over with?
Yeah.
But yeah, so we are done. We've ended up comfortably in mid-table. I'm annoyed we dropped to 13th.
Yeah, I really want to finish mid.
Because of obviously the odd number of teams in the league. Had we finished 12th, there'd have been 11 above, 11 below. You can't get more mid-table than that. But yeah, we finished unlucky 13th. Hopefully it's not unlucky. We've had enough bad luck.
Yeah, obviously we'll talk about it in a bit more detail, but ultimately I think it was a decent season actually in the end. So, you know, get to grips with it all, welcome to the National League and that sort of stuff, and get used to some of the grounds we've got to go to, and to be honest with you, some of these strange fan bases that seem to have popped up and trying to make rivalries for the sake of it. But
was that the biggest culture shock for you, like the standard? And listen,
me and you go to a lot of grounds, so we knew that a lot of these grounds would be like this. It was actually, I don't mean to be this in a disrespectful way, but it was like the fan bases of some of these clubs were just odd. It's like they've just been non-league their entire existence.
So
soon as like a so-called big team does come down, they just try and latch onto it to create something out of nothing. It was just odd.
Yeah.
We had Eastleigh fans singing, "What do we think of Southend shit? What do we think of shit Southend?" What is that about?
There was a few of them. Love, yeah.
What are you talking about?
Why are you trying to force a rivalry with us?
It's just strange. So. Yeah. That for me was the biggest shock. Not because I say we do a lot of non-league games, non-league grounds.
How many games do you do this season?
All in?
All in.
100.
100.
Finish on 100 games. So, yeah. I think I saw 44 Southend games.
I was 106, 107.
I think we see a lot of football.
38 Southend, I think.
Yeah, we watch a lot of football, so and go to a lot of non-league grounds. So the grounds didn't. The annoying thing is because we do travel in decent numbers, the facilities are crap.
Yeah, that's the thing. Because me and you did Hayes Lane, which is obviously Bromley's grounds.
Yeah.
We did that to watch Cray Wanderers.
Yeah, and I actually thought this would be decent.
I'm not funny. There was about 100 people there.
Yeah, I genuinely thought this would be decent when we come here.
Yeah, we rocked up on Boxing Day.
Yeah, I didn't realise we'd be on the little concrete terrace with a big
BT
fucking camera in the way.
Yeah.
So that didn't help.
Yeah, that was shit, wasn't it? But why was that just in the middle of the stand?
don't. But like I say, we're getting a bit sidetracked. Ultimately, I say a successful season, and we're going to sort of sift through it now.
It's very off the cuff. There's never really a script, is there? We'll just go off on tangents.
Yeah, we're just going to sort of sift through the season.
Yeah, we're not going to do individual games.
Yeah.
We're just going to give our opinion on the season as a whole.
Yeah.
And, you know, a little bit of a look towards next season.
Yeah. So we might as well start from the beginning. But we won't necessarily talk about the Phil Brown coming in. He was here. But we will talk about, obviously, the summer recruitment. So if you had to mark it out of 10, what would you give it? The summer recruitment.
Well, do you know what? I think you get to the end of the season and certain players, you'd probably have to give it straight down the middle, like a 5 out of 10.
That's what I was going to say.
Because probably about half and half of his signings did work out and the other half didn't work out.
Yeah,
I think you know, fair enough. I'll give him Arnold, I'll give him Dolby, I'll give him Bridge, and I'll give him Murphy.
Yeah,
the others maybe not so much.
Yeah, then maybe we're missing one or two. I'm not too sure there in terms of ones that done
they're,
well.
They're the standout Phil Brown signings of the summer window.
Yeah, I think the issue is that there was too many in that overage bracket that. Had we had a younger squad and you signed one of them, it might have worked out. But when you're trying to sign Coulson to go alongside John White, for example, it's not going to work.
You didn't need a go-go and Dunn.
Yeah.
And in fairness
to Dunn,
you don't
need White and Coulson.
He ended the season, you know, in reasonable form.
Yeah. He actually did, to be fair.
Yeah, he actually did. He picked up a little
bit. I actually have no doubt that boat, give it 5 years ago, was actually a really decent player. Because you can see what he sort of buzzes about.
Well, he's played for Portsmouth.
But he just, unfortunately, I think if he had any pace, I don't know, but if he did, it seemed to have gone.
Yeah.
So if you do try and put a bit of a press on, you're leaving gaps everywhere, unfortunately.
Lovely finish, though. A little double
up. Oh, it was a beautiful finish. But I think you're right. Like, as you say, Dolby was a good signing, a good age profile.
10 goals, young striker, 10 goals.
So it was a really good turn, actually. There was probably a few cluster of games, actually, where his form dipped, actually, where he just couldn't really get it going and stuff. So, that was a good signing.
He missed a couple of pens as well, so he could have had a better goal return.
Yeah.
But certainly, for a young forward to get double figures, I think that's a great return.
Yeah. Obviously, Bridge coming back, he's done really well. Fair play to him, good signing. I think you knew he was going to get with Murphy in that sense. He would always score goals, give him, you know, three chances. He'll probably take one of them. And Arnold's been a great signing. Just what we needed, really.
Yeah.
I think when you've, I don't want to go over old ground, but when you've had a keeper that fans haven't really got on with, to get a keeper in that everyone loves and sort of appreciates and just commands his area, then that's all. I think that's a massive thing at National League level. So any level, but I think at this level more so.
I know we said we weren't going to like delve too much into individual games, but there's something that's still like ringing in my memory when you say about commanding his area. It was the Wrexham away game, obviously not long gone. He claimed everything.
Yeah.
Everything. And I was just like, wow, like, it must just be so
such a
nice
pressure relief
for a defender to play in that team knowing that you've got that confident keeper behind you. Actually, do you know what? I say he claimed everything. There was one that he didn't claim, but he still dealt with. And I think that's important that, you know, he still didn't panic and actually, he was just completely aware of his surroundings because there's one in the second half and it was coming to him very straight and he's come to claim it and he's going to claim it but he's going to carry it out of the box and he's got the wherewithal to just sort of let it roll through his, it looked like he was going to bring it into his chest but he, as I say, momentum was going to carry him out of the box, let it roll through his hands, let it bounce once and just hoofed it. But that's just awareness. You know, we had a keeper last year, wouldn't have been anywhere near the edge of his box. He'd been rooted to his line. Yeah. So the contrast between the two goalkeepers, ironically, that we've got in a lower division, for me is absolute night and day.
Yeah, he's a stranger on that, but I mean, I'm just happy, and I'm just happy he's here next year because I think he's such a good foundation to build on, a strong keeper.
But the thing is as well, you look at the strong keepers that we've had in my era, and I know it's going to be similar to yours, so you had Flavs, obviously great keeper, fans' favourite, then Mildenhall replaced him, and that, you know, that was a bit hit and miss.
Yeah.
And then, I know like you have another...
Yeah, he weren't necessarily the worst, but he wasn't the best.
I know we had a couple that played like games here and there, but I'm talking like mainstay number ones. Then you had Dan Bentley.
Yeah.
I love this one.
Well, we had Paul Smith for a year. We had Morris for a year.
I'm talking those that are like mainstays and that have played a couple of years. Then you have Dan Bentley, that's another big fan's favourite.
Yeah.
And then you go to Mark Oxley, again, putting it politely, hit and miss.
Yeah.
And then you go to another one that's become a fan's favourite again. So it's like, you don't want to be the keeper that follows a fan's favourite. You want to be the one that follows the one that follows the fan's favourite.
Yeah.
Because that seems to be how it's worked.
Yeah, and that's a fair point, actually. I didn't really think of it like that. But I think it's such a key position. You don't want to... Fans, unfortunately, do get on people's backs, especially a keeper. If you make a mistake, no one's in that sense going in.
Mm.
So they just sort of... Whereas he's actually made... He's made a few errors this year that have almost led to goals or been a... No one's really panicked or said anything. They just kind of let him get on with it. And I think that's such a... Even for him, he's almost like, right, I can forget about that because they forgot about it.
That's what I mean. It's nice that we do seem to have a keeper that's not... I'm not saying he's not a confidence player, because I think that's stupid. Yeah. Every player is a confidence player, but a little hiccup, shall we say,
doesn't
really seem to faze him.
Yeah, which is great.
He's just like, right, well, shit happens, forget that.
Yeah.
Next.
Yeah, so...
That's how it looks, anyway. And I think to have that as the start of your spine through your team, yeah.
Yeah. Well, no, I know we've got our player of the year. Got our player of the year, and... Rightly so, but he said it himself. Next year, obviously, you don't want it because you want it to go to a striker that's bag 25. So,
yeah.
Let's hope that's... But yeah, I'm with you. 5 out of 10. We won't talk about the ones that weren't successful. There's no point because they've all gone now. So, you know, thanks, but no thanks, and move on, I guess. But yeah. Let's move on to... What was it? About 10 games in. I think we had, 2 wins?
Mm.
We just had a 4-0 loss with fans on the pitch, and about half hour later, we get the... tweet come through saying Phil Brown was sacked.
He's got the
with Craig Fagan.
It's great news, isn't it?
Well, I'll be honest with you. I mean, it was great news, to be fair, because it just showed that, all right, we might have made a decision, and it was the wrong decision to appoint him in the first place, but ultimately it was we're 10 games in, it's wrong, let's change it now.
Yeah.
Let's not wait until, you know, March or whatever, because there's no point.
I shudder to think where we'd have ended up.
21st maybe. I'm not being deadly serious. I honestly couldn't see it turning around, but I was delighted to it. I say I was never advocating for him to stay at all. Thought it was a completely wrong decision to keep him. It was going backwards, if anything. It wasn't even sideways, it was backwards. And yeah, I think it just showed that maybe it sounds weird that we'd made a mature decision to actually go, no, he needs to go now, and we're going to go for a different profile here. And we're going to get someone in that's actually a bit more, just a bit modern, you know, not, with all due respect, a dinosaur. So, you know, coming in with new ideas, fresh ideas, understands how modern players work. You know, they want to be sort of loved. They don't want to be shouted at, that sort of thing. They don't want to be...
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'm not saying that, you know, you constantly do that. Of course, you don't want them to take the piss, but, you know, you don't make a mistake and then batter him.
Yeah, but I've just remembered something. We had all that nonsense where it became very public knowledge that the players were doing a 10K run.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
After a defeat.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So,
who do you think you are?
Yeah, it was just... I'll say it was...
Genuinely, if I'm a player in that situation, I'm genuinely like, who do you think you are?
Mm. Yeah. And obviously, Stan, I sort of had a... I'm not going to say an involvement in that sacking, but if you remember, he went on BBC Radio, didn't he? Straight after that. And he was like, they've got to go. Mm. He was like, if they want any chance of surviving, they've got to go now, and you've got to change it up. And I think that was almost the starting point of it changing. You know, it did technically get worse for a little bit afterwards. You know, it did, because we obviously couldn't recruit. But so, yeah, they went. I think what we had, Dimmy, Coulson and White as a management trio for a game. But then, obviously, Mayer, Curry and Bentley come in.
Yeah.
Which, you know, we won't go over that, but we're both certainly happy with that. It was at the time.
Yeah.
I'm even more so now from what I'm seeing.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, it took them a couple to get, because they were ultimately working with the players that they had. And with all due respect to them, they weren't the players that they wanted, and so they weren't good enough.
Funnily enough, they weren't good enough.
Yeah, ultimately. And, you know, you look at a lot of the players that probably started in that era. You know, I don't know his first game, but I'm going to put it out there. There was probably people like Howard... Egbury.
Rob Howard played Rush. In Mayer's first 5 games.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? There was probably that sort of... I think Agogo played, and I think Ferguson played. You know,
well, Agogo played because he got sent off at Bournemouth, didn't he? That was definitely a Mayer game.
That was a Mayer game. Yeah, so yeah, he played in the first few games, didn't he, Agogo as well. So, you know, you look at a lot of that, a lot of them players
weren't really his players.
And again, we're still,
so,
and we're still working.
And he's let a lot of them go. I reckon if you look at his first game, got to be at least 6-7. If you look at the squad, say from the subs, a lot that would be released from that first game. You know, I can't remember his first. Was it Dagenham?
I think it was. Was it Dagenham in the cup?
I think it was a league was game. I went to it. I think it was. I think that was his first game.
No, what it was, Dagenham was his first game, but I can't quite remember. If
I think it was
league.
We lost 3-0.
League or trophy?
Well, I didn't get the trophy. So it must have been the league. We lost 3-0. I reckon a lot of that team have been released, and that,
so I try
that
to find it.
Yeah, and that probably sums it up really.
Listen, I told you it was unplanned and unscripted.
Yeah, just have a quick look at that because
We'll talk whilst I'm looking.
Yeah, I think that's quite an interesting thing. But oh yeah, he was having to try and get something out of the players that weren't his or he didn't really fancy.
Because ultimately you've got to put a team on the pitch.
He was getting a tune out of them every now and again, but ultimately they weren't good enough, you know.
There was never going to be a consistent run of results with that squad.
No, it just weren't going to happen. And, you know, we'll come on to the January transfer window, but as soon as he got to Jan and players came in, well, a lot went out. And that was,
there's a fair few since that time have never been seen again.
Never been seen
like
again,
Agogo,
to be honest. Yeah.
That game he got sent off.
Harry Phillips.
That's his last appearance. And that was, I'm going to say, late October.
Harry Phillips might have played in that Dagenham game for a while now. Do you know what I mean? There's a lot of players that just were left because they just weren't good enough. You know, I keep saying that, but it wasn't for a want to try.
Yeah, I got it.
Oh, go on then.
It was the league.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I didn't get that trophy game.
Yeah, you were quite right. We lost 3-0.
Yeah.
It was actually 0-0 at half time.
Yeah, I remember it weren't too bad the first half. Seedon was in goal.
Shall I read out the start? Well, actually, if you want to play a little game, do you want to try and name the starting lineup?
Well, Seedon was in goal.
Yeah. I give you one.
Rob Howard.
Yeah.
John White.
Yeah.
Did Ralph play?
No.
I'm just guessing, yeah. No. Hobson?
Yeah.
Agogo?
Yeah.
Ferguson?
Yeah.
Dolby Murphy?
Yeah.
Bridge?
Yeah.
Phillips?
No.
I'm done, to be fair. Demetrio?
No.
Yeah, I'm done. I can't go around for that.
I'll read out
who is he playing?
Who?
Eggbury.
Yeah, Egg restarted.
Yeah. That's about six players that have gone there.
Do you know what? I think you've only missed one, but I've because they're in a bit of a different order to how you've read it, I'll just read out the team. So Harry Seedon, Rob Howard, Sean Hobson, John White. That looks like a back four.
Yeah.
Agogo, Bridge, Dunn, Ferguson, Murphy, Dolby, Eggbury.
That's seven players that have... What's the bench, out of curiosity?
The bench was... Rush, Atkinson, Walsh were unused subs. Harry Phillips and Charlie Sayers came on.
That's 12 players that are now not longer
from
in.
From that squad
And in fairness to Ferguson and Walsh, they actually got moved to another club in the window and went, we'll leave. And Sayers obviously went to Spurs. The rest of them just left, really.
Yeah.
You know, went on loan or whatnot. Yeah, that's a big turnaround. It's a massive turnaround.
So that was Kevin Mayer's first game. That was the team.
Yeah, I mean, it says a lot, doesn't it? We might as well move on to the transfer window now. Well, I say we won't necessarily go through them all, but the top of me, Kensdale, Hussein, Cardwell, Powell. Then you've got the loanees. Well, even from when...
The free loanees.
We'll include, it wasn't necessarily winter, but obviously you've got the Patter, Brunt, Neil, they came in.
Yeah.
You know, Gubbins, Clark. Can't think of else now.
Davis came in, obviously, has now since... moved on again.
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah. That's 10.
Yeah.
From what we signed, what they signed. Sorry. And I think every single one really. I'm not going to be harsh on Davies. I'll be honest. I didn't necessarily rate him, but I won't be harsh. I think every single one came with a purpose.
Yeah.
They was like, well, we need to have a backup right back because we don't think Howe's good enough. Right. Well, he's a chance here for someone that wants to prove himself.
Got a little bit more experience. Got a few appearances in the league under his belt. Cambridge.
Yeah, obviously we signed Lepata and Brunt at the time. Didn't necessarily need Brunt. We did need a midfielder, but obviously Lepata was absolute mustard. Brunt going back and us getting Neil was an absolute blessing in disguise, to be honest. Because
funny sliding doors, man.
Yeah, it was a mac because it didn't really work out for Brunt, but Neil coming here for us was he was brilliant, to be honest.
Frustratingly as well, because I completely agree. It's like horses for courses, isn't it? And when we were in a bit of a dire situation still. And I don't think we were going to play a system that was going to suit Brum.
Not really, no. He played out wide.
I don't like to use the term luxury players because it's kind of a bit degrading, really. Like, he's better than that.
Yeah, yeah.
If you're a team that are top of the league, you probably don't play with a back five because you don't need to protect one of your defenders.
Yeah.
So you play a back four and you obviously get another attacking position, so you play a player like Brun.
Yeah.
We weren't really in a position to do that.
Well, so I mean, we played him out wide a few times,
yeah,
didn't we?
Yeah, but what was quite sad, really, for him, didn't really play a lot of Notts County either.
No, not really.
That's really quite disappointing.
And he looked a good player, though, from what we saw.
Yeah,
he looked a really good player.
I know Notts County are obviously a good side themselves. They've got other good players. But yeah. I thought that was quite a strange one, really, that he didn't really... Well, I think I'm right in saying he only made one start.
Really?
I think so.
Yeah. It probably sums you up, didn't it, really, for him?
I love him back.
Oh, all day, yeah.
I was kind of hoping that Sheffield United would win the championship playoffs in the hope that they might just chuck them free.
Release all three of them,
and we get them all on free transfers.
But I mean, overall, I say addressing areas we needed. You know, we lacked sort of pace, power coming. You know, he's got that sort of pace, the electricity. The electricity from when he gets on the ball, he's exciting.
None of them are the finished article.
No, of course not.
They wouldn't be at Southend if they were the finished article.
And they're from the leagues below, really. Yeah. They're the ones we signed on permanence, anyway.
Particularly those Cardwell, Houssin, Powell and Kensdale.
Yeah.
I personally think Kensdale's really grown, like, almost every game he's played. Got better and better every game. But the other three... Not to say that they haven't grown, of course they have, but like, I'm really quite excited to see what they bring to the table after a full pre-season.
Yeah.
It's not just any pre-season. Like, they've come from part-time football. Like, it's going to be, and unfortunately that's where you get the little things like the injury that's happened to Cardwell.
Yeah.
So hopefully it's not too serious and he's back for pre-season.
He's meant to be back. I think he's got to have a little operation, but he should be back for pre-season. But, so it's quite a quick turnaround, actually. But
Certainly someone like Powell, I think, you know, not to take anything away from him because, my God, he's a trier.
Oh, yeah. He can be frustrating to watch, you know.
Yeah, it can be, but if he can find an end product, my God.
Yeah, you got a player there.
We got a player.
Yeah.
If he can find an end product, we got a player.
Yeah. I thought he actually had his best game last game of the season.
Yeah, I did.
I can't really remember that Woken game. He did play really well in the first time, obviously scored, I remember, but I can't really remember it. And the view was pretty crap. But I thought we had a really decent game against Torquay, actually. I'll give him that. So, but yeah, overall, I'd say I think the signing sort of addressed issues within the team. You'd probably give it like an 8 out of 10. I'm not going to say it was perfect because you could always get better.
You're always going to nitpick, aren't you?
Yeah.
It's never going to be
you're saying, people will look at maybe like Cardwell, say he got injured, and they'll look at Powell, he didn't finish and stuff. Kensdale, you know, my sort of issue there with Kensdale for a centre half, I don't think he wins enough in the air. But I think that all comes with a pre season. So.
Yeah.
Or at least learning and becoming a better footballer. And they're all young as well. That's a good thing. They're all young.
Yeah.
So they're like about 29, 30. They're all the only one that was.
I know it was only a loan, and it probably was a bit of an emergency loan in that sense because we lost Lopata. The only one that sort of broke the mould really was Kenny Clark.
Yeah.
When he come in.
Yeah, and do you know what? He kind of got better as the games were going on. Towards the end, he got an injury in the end. He scored, didn't he, in that game?
Yeah,
he got injured. But
that was a very well.
Gubbins, I thought, obviously he fits the criteria. But you know, I thought he started a bit slow. He sort of grew into it as the games went on.
Yeah, he came good in the end. I think
overall, I'm not going to say it was perfect because you can always do better. But I'd give it like an 8 out of 10. There's probably an argument as a 9. You know, it addressed areas, so refreshing,
wasn't it, to see where, you know, spending a fair bit of time now, like, doing our research in the lower leagues, because as we've said, we've watched a lot of lower league football just this season. There's players there.
Oh yeah, definitely.
There is players there.
Definitely, yeah. We saw that player, didn't we? It was at Woodford, and we thought he looks decent, and we didn't really. We probably should have said something, maybe. Maybe, I mean, in fairness, they probably would have known about this player, but he ended up QPR, didn't he?
QPR.
We saw him, what, 3 times, and every time we was like, he's really good, isn't he?
He's the best player on the pitch.
Standing out by a mark.
And that's in the Essex Senior League.
Yeah, you know, and that's a big step. That's a massive
step. Obviously not gone in and played.
No, he's just gone in there 23s, but, you know, it's a gamble that probably they can afford to take more than us, but you never know, you know, they might have gone all.
But yeah, the point is, there's definitely players out there, and I don't think it should. Not that it has been, But I'm just saying, I don't think it should be looked down on. That, oh, we're looking in the lower leagues.
No, I think it's got... I think the North and South is the perfect level of
players there, man.
Because that's players that have probably just dropped out of the full-time game. And the ones that are in the age bracket that we got are the ones that want to step up.
Yeah, they got it all to prove.
You know, of course, you're going to get players that are decent at the level, but they're like 29, 30, they've got a job, and they're like, no, this is me now. Yeah. But that one's in that age bracket of probably 20 to 24, 25. That's a great age bracket to look at, I think.
And it's still an age bracket that we really need to fill.
Yeah.
We've made a start.
Yeah, definitely. So in that time, we obviously went on that 13 game unbeaten run.
Yeah. That's mental.
Yeah, it kind of came out of the blue a bit, really, I guess. I think it started... What was the first game? Was it the Bromley game? Away?
Yeah, Boxing Day, yeah.
Boxing Day,
it was Bromley on Boxing Day. Because we went through a period from Boxing Day to like the middle of March. We were unbeaten in the year, 2022.
Yeah, and again, in that game, you look at the players that either played the rest of the season or have gone since. You know, I think Murphy came on. He obviously didn't last that long in terms of... You know, I think he got injured a couple of times.
Murphy had been ill.
Pretty sure White's... Yeah, he was ill, wasn't he? Yeah.
Well, until the last game of the season, that was John White's last appearance as well, because he went...
Obviously, John White played. Lewis Gard played.
Yeah.
James Dunn played. Coulson came on.
Coulson came on for
a
while.
You know, a lot of players again in that you know, ever since gone. So, but that was... I remember that game, actually, because it annoyed me, that Cameron deal away hits. But... they were, I think, third at the time. They could have gone sort of third and one.
Yeah, I remember
Drew
that.
Drew 1-0. I think. Oh, Matt Dennis scored, didn't he?
Yeah, and that was the start of his.
That was the start of his run because he scored the game before against Dorking, didn't he?
Yeah, and that was his from right. Remember rightly that Bromley goal was his first league goal.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, then since then he didn't look back. In fairness to him, but yeah, we didn't look back. I think it probably helped that we had if memory serves me right, we did have a bit more consistency in the lineup. I think Clifford came back. I think Ralph was then sort of. Almost, we all knew he was then a left centre half. Then he wasn't a left back. It was you are now a left centre half.
Yeah.
I think we just seemed to get a bit more consistency in the team. Then the emergence, I'm not saying emergence, but Carbwell, Power, Hussein came in. They just added the quality to it, and we just almost went from strength to strength. Atkinson coming in the team. He worked really well for the I thought he'd done really well when he first came in.
Yeah, so he had like a proper little resurgence.
Yeah,
didn't
he? I thought he'd done really well actually in the first a good number of games in that run. I thought we were a bit of a standout, actually. I remember we played, I think it was Auction away. We won 2-1. It wasn't in that run, in fairness, but he played, and I remember him having an absolute cracker.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, there might still be a player there. Yeah, I still think there is. I mean, I think it's the right decision he's gone, by the way, but there is definitely a player that at a level can play still, definitely. Just depends how you want to play as a team, I think, moving forward. He just probably doesn't fit us. But yeah, that 13-game run, I genuinely thought... I didn't think we'd get playoffs, sorry, but I actually thought that the squad might think we've got a chance here.
Yeah.
They might have done. They actually might have thought that, but because I certainly believe if I was a player, but when you look at the table, I think it's about 15 points outside the playoffs we were. It's not a lot. When you go back through the season, there's always games where you go, oh, we should have beaten them, shouldn't have lost that. You take them games out. I know it's sort of if, buts and maybes, but... You know, and you replace that loss of a draw when you should have drew. You replace that draw of a win when you should have win.
Yeah, yeah.
You do that. Pick them points.
That is largely all it is.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So you get that little bit of extra quality.
I say that's all it is. That's the difference.
Yeah, it's the difference
between finishing 12th.
Yeah, and finishing say sixth. Like, yeah, whatever.
That's the difference. You got those little marginal games.
And I think them little bits of quality, a team that can sort of run. I'm not going to say longer because they can all run 90 minutes, but you get my point. Have more legs in them, you know, they can sort of they've got more sprints in them than say a Dunn or an Atkinson or whatever. And I think you go from there, and it's an exciting season next year. But we won't necessarily go through the rest of the season. We might as well bring it to the end there because, in fairness, after that 13 game unbeaten run, it kind of died a bit of a death, didn't it?
Yeah, really? Unfortunately as well, it would have
been a 5-game losing streak after, didn't we? I think
it would have been interesting to see again. It's with the benefit of hindsight, if Lapata hadn't been recalled, because that derailed us a fair.
Yeah,
bit.
It really did affect us. Really did.
I'm not saying we're a one man team. Far from it. That just seemed to fall in line with. Cardwell got injured, Ralph got injured, Hussein was on international duty.
Yeah, there was a lot of people at the same time that did leave the squad, so to speak.
So I think you take those four players out of any team at this level, you're going to suffer.
Yeah. definitely.
All at the same time. I think Dennis got an injury as well at that time.
Yeah, I think he might have done actually. Yeah.
Those little niggly injuries, Lapata getting recalled, who's sin on international duty, that sadly did derail us a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but you know, ultimately, I'm just happy to not be relegated for once, to be honest.
First time in 3 years.
Yeah. So it's it was a sort of a nice end to the season. So there was nothing to play for. Yeah. I'd rather have nothing to play for and be fighting relegation again, to be honest.
Well, especially from this division.
Yeah, I will never in my life say I'd rather be fighting relegation than be mid-table. I'd give this to me all day.
If we're ever in a position again where we're fighting to stay in the National League...
Yeah, there's some issues.
Wow, something's gone horribly wrong. There's some issues. Again.
But yeah, I guess I end the season. Obviously, we drew 1-1 with Torquay in the end. Probably on reflection, a fair result, actually, that game, really. Thought they were a better team first half. We were better with 10 men. So probably on the balance of play, probably fair.
I'll give both teams a bit of credit, really, because they could have both come out and quite easily been on the beach.
Well, this is what I mean. I thought first half we was, or with 11 men we was. I thought they would look really up for it.
That was the strange one.
10 men came on, we upped it, and yeah. they I understand them down it towards a bit, but we massively upped it. Yeah. And then, yeah, it was just...
We
almost won.
Yeah.
You know, so...
Stonewall red card, by the way.
Yeah. You can't do that nowadays.
No, and I sort of...
You can't do it.
I've put bits on Shrimperzone and maybe Twitter as well, I can't remember. Like, I completely see what has happened. It's not malicious, and he actually has got a toe on the ball first, but he's put 12 studs in the guy's shin.
Yeah, you just can't do that.
That's always going to be a red card.
Yeah.
It is unfortunate. He hasn't meant it. Thankfully, the guy wasn't seriously injured.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Well, thankfully, because there's rumours he might be coming in.
Yeah. Well, I heard as well. Was it Winter?
Yeah.
Is that his name? He played every minute of the season for Torquay.
Well, he didn't.
Yeah, he didn't. You imagine if, like, you get to, like, half hour of the season left. Why didn't you play that? I broke my leg, mate.
Yeah. Against you. But yeah, as I say, it's the end of the season. It's sort of, I say, maybe the last few games died a death, but we won the last few. We was unbeaten in the last few. So there's a bit of momentum there, so to speak, going into the next season.
The kind of nice thing is now, yeah, of course you're going to lose games, and we got battered up at Stockport in more ways than one.
Yep.
That was a good old session, that one, wasn't it? I forgot what I was going to say. I've got it. Yeah, you're going to lose games.
Yeah, of course
you are. And yeah, they're up the top. We were kind of at that point. That was when
we had a lot of players out.
That's what I mean. That was when we were suffering that one with those
Arnold
players
was out.
Missing. Yeah,
I know he's not everyone's cup of tea, but Hobson was out, and the shape was all over the place, and it was just...
My point is now, I think we're at a stage, we're going to lose a game, and, you know, we're going to bounce back.
Yeah.
We're not going to... Well, as you're saying that, we did lose 5 in a row at one point again, but we bounced back.
Yeah.
We don't now look like a side that are going to go on a 20-game winless run.
Yeah.
Which we have done in the last couple of years.
A couple of times.
Yeah.
So we now
just look like, yeah, a defeat's going to happen. Right, that was that. That was crap. I didn't have a good game. You didn't have a good game. But draw a line under it and we go again. We look like we've got the sort of mental strength in the management and now the players that are going to be that way inclined.
Yeah. What was your highlights of the season?
Phil Brand getting sacked.
Yeah, it's probably my number one. Number two, probably then the 13 game run. That was decent. I think Arnold made some cracking saves this season.
Yeah, I'm trying to think.
There was a couple of saves I actually sort of stood up and applauded at times. I was like, wow, that's just...
There was one, I can't remember what game it was. It was in one of the...
Was it midweek one?
It was in one of the 100 Tuesday night games that we had. And it was just such a strong wrist.
Yeah, I remember.
He didn't dive, he just stood there, but it was just like a brick wall. I'm trying to think.
There's a lot. I said there
but the good,
a lot.
The good thing is, there's actually a few to pick from.
I can generally name things that are, and it's not necessarily highlights from games, but just highlights from the season.
There's a good few standout moments again.
Yeah, the recruitment, you know, probably after October or October onwards was good.
I mean, let's be honest. Just being able to go to games again was a highlight.
Yeah, of course.
That first game of the season, Kings Lynn. Yeah. All right.
Shame I couldn't see it.
Crap grounds. Yeah. Like. Crap weather, couldn't see a thing, but you know, you're back at football.
Yeah.
And managed to win that game.
Yeah, I'll say I couldn't see it really, but no, it was just nice to be back at the games.
I'm about
I'm just over 6 foot and I couldn't see a thing.
Yeah, so. I'm 5'8", so I had no hope. But
That's been the biggest sort of bugbear for me. Like, you get to like Maidenhead, that was awful. I stood on like half of a wall.
Yeah, and the result weren't good.
But I'm not sort of slagging them off.
No, it's just the numbers.
Because that's what they are. Yeah. And a lot of these clubs have...
It's not their fault, we're it.
Yeah, but a club like Maidenhead, I think I'm right in saying, this is the highest level they've ever been at. So I'm not expecting... I'm not expecting amazing facilities, but what I'm saying is, like, this is just the further sort of indictment, really, of how far we've actually fallen.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
this is now the facilities.
Yeah, I'm actually not knocking them.
This is the facilities we play at.
It's our fault.
Yeah, it's completely our own fault. But
yeah.
So I feel for sort of supporters, because we know a couple of our mates' dads or whoever, like, they're disabled.
Yeah.
So it's proper shit for them.
Yeah.
Going to away.
Well, just like they used to sit in the home end,
they do get in the home end,
yeah.
But it's like,
but it's not great.
It's
you
not
are,
ideal,
yeah.
is it? You
yeah.
want to be with your mates, and if like if you do, like, you go on and win the game, you want to experience that with your own fans. You don't want to be. So yeah, that was a. It's a weird one to try and describe, because it wasn't a big shock to me, because I was expecting it. I was expecting the poor facilities. But it was just a bit.
It
like,
was just the shock
wow.
of the numbers we were taking. That wasn't the shock. It was the going to these stadiums with the numbers. That was the shock for me. I was like, wow.
Yeah, because the ones that stand out to me was certainly Kings Lynn, because it was rammed.
Yeah.
Bromley on Boxing Day, Maidenhead.
Oh, no, I couldn't stand that.
We seemed to take low. It wasn't far, Maidenhead, was it?
Yeah. There's a couple more.
There's a couple more.
Weymouth weren't great, but the numbers weren't massive, so it was actually fine.
Yeah, that was okay.
Yeah. I went Dover. Oh.
Well, I went the Sol Campbell era to Dover. I didn't go this time.
Awful. But yeah, you know, I say, I'm not knocking the clubs. Actually, I'm knocking us. So
yeah, I'm not. That's a knock at us. This is what you've done to us.
Yeah.
This is how far we've fallen.
Yeah.
I've now got to stand on a box. Almost literally.
Yeah, it wasn't great, but
there's been a couple. Like, let's. Barnet was actually all right view wise.
One of the better ones for me.
Strange, very, very strange.
No staff in the bar. No,
very strange.
I weren't drinking,
what they've
just
done
no
with,
facilities.
They've just taken one of the stands away.
Yeah, this season as well.
That's odd.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was one of the better views of the season. Notts County, obviously.
Yeah.
One of the better views.
Yeah. Shame we got battered. But yeah, overall, I'd say I'm surprised I'm going to say it, but yeah, successful season to build on. What do you make of the release list, or the retained list?
It's probably going to be a bit of a boring conversation, this, because I personally think it was spot on.
Yeah.
As near to spot on as
I don't think there's ever been a release list that I've agreed with as much.
There's no need to be rude to like
yeah, I'm not saying no need to.
And we're not here to do that. We're talking like strictly professional capacity. Like there's players there that have given a lot of appearances to this club. Certainly two in White and Atkinson.
Yeah.
And well, if John White decides to ride off into the sunset now and retire, then great. If he wants to carry on playing, great. I think he could still play. It's just we're going to go in a bit of a different direction now. So
there's
no need for any personal jibes at players that have gone.
No, definitely not.
It's business.
Yeah, and I think especially this the way the country is at the moment, and the world, should I say, you know, it's not a pleasant time for anyone to be out of work, to be honest.
No, not at all.
Of course, it's a different area of work for footballers, of course, I get that, but you know, there's a couple of them there with age and injuries and stuff that they might not play again.
Yeah,
you know?
so
they've got to get another job now.
Yeah, you'd like to hope that maybe they've kind of had some stuff away from football going on in the background.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, no, there was no shocks for me. Well, it wasn't a shock, but I think you have to look at a player in the end like James Dunn that did play a fair amount of games. That's a little bit unusual for someone like that to get released.
Yeah.
But and Atkinson played a good number of games. But I completely get it.
Yeah, well, I think it shows the direction that we're going
in. Yeah, it's literally that. We're going in a complete different direction now.
Yeah, you don't need to be harsh about it. I say there's no need to make jibes or anything, but it's... It is a sort of a thanks and see you later.
They've come in and done their job.
Yeah.
They've done what was asked of them. They've honoured their contracts. As far as I'm aware, there's been no snaking going on with, like, you should have had that clause. Because remember, we had that with Josh Wright, didn't we?
Mm.
As far as I'm aware, it's just been a simple case of you've honoured your contract, thanks for what you've done,
yeah.
But we're going to go a different avenue.
Yeah, definitely. And I think especially we've mentioned before, Atkinson and John White, you know, good servants for the club, obviously especially White. I get it, you know, he's local, you know, I don't know, but I'm assuming he's not costing an arm and a leg.
Mm.
You know, he's captain of the club.
Well, pardon the pun there with the arm.
Yeah.
it almost has cost his arm.
But, you know, he's been a good servant. I actually don't think he would have had the season he had this year if we didn't sign Coulson. If we didn't sign Coulson.
You think he'd have played more?
Yeah. I'm not saying he wouldn't have gone this season, but I think he would have played more.
I
think having both sort of made the defence almost look worse than it was at times. Maybe not necessarily worse than it was, but maybe having both of them playing made it worse. Whereas if we'd have gone one and another with Ralph on that left, the balance would have been better. I might be wrong in saying that, I don't know. But, you know, I thought last year, all right, it's on the telly to watch it, it's hard to judge. I thought White and Hobson were actually all right last year. I can't remember saying that, we got relegated, but... Our issue wasn't conceding goals, it was scoring.
Yeah, that was the thing in that season. We just weren't scoring goals. So, we actually got to a stage where we equally weren't conceding that many.
Yeah, I just think the balance was wrong. But yeah, totally right to go now. I don't think he'll play at this level. I think he'd be stupid to actually in that sense. I think he'd be better off going part-time, going to a local club and something with good facilities. Billericay is the obvious one for me. I think it's a good stand as a standout club.
Well, I think the thing is as well, we know from sort of the way he's been on socials, he's got a business interest away from football as it is.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I think he'd be silly to retire if it was a, you know, I think he'd have said it already if he was retiring.
Mm.
So that to me suggests that actually you think you've got a bit more.
Well, he's got his testimonial, hasn't he? So he might.
Yeah, maybe he'll renounce after that or something. But
we don't want to tempt fate.
I personally hope I go and watch Billericay next year or whoever. I say I'm just trying to think of someone with decent facilities because that's the obvious one for me. And he's playing there, you know, part time football, just doing his job, and you know, it's a decent standard of football. You know, we know of one or two players that actually play at that level. It's a decent standard of football. It's not.
Yeah.
People think that when you talk about the level, you're talking, okay, it's semi pro of course, but you know people think you're talking Sunday League. You're not. You're talking good players. You know,
a lot of former league players
that play at level, players that actually could have made it, but they don't have the rest of the commitment, or they've got other jobs, or whatnot. You know, but it's a good standard. So I hope you play. I hope he continues to play. And the same with Atkinson. Actually, I hope to see him carry on playing because he was going to jack it in, wasn't he?
I think during COVID, I think he was going
to
jack it in.
Yeah, so I hope to see it. And yeah, I say almost up. Yeah, thanks for your service and good luck in the future. Really.
Yeah, no, definitely. Echo the sentiments entirely.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. As football fans, we often pride ourselves on knowing everything, from which substitution can turn the game around to the quickest route home to beat the crowds. However, when it comes to discussing feelings with our friends, we might not always feel as confident. That's why we're here to equip you with the right tools so you can reach out to those who can help. If your mates are struggling, let them know that the Samaritans are free to call on 116 123. That's 116 123. They are there to listen without judgment or pressure, 24/7, 365 days of the year. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
But was there anyone that stood out for you in terms of opposition?
As a team or a player?
Player, in terms of who you'd go, I wouldn't mind seeing him.
There was a couple. I can't remember their names.
Mm.
There was the guy at Altrincham.
Mooney.
Yeah.
He was very good.
He came on.
Yeah, he was very good.
And it kind of...
He's the main one for me, because he's the main one I can remember. Because he made an impact when he came on.
There was one as well that I can't remember his name. It was a centre-half. I can't remember who he played for. I think it was Torquay.
Right.
I thought he looked decent.
That Mooney you're talking about, definitely, he was... he almost made that the biggest impact for me because, well, we went to it, he came on at half time and he scored.
Yeah.
And I thought, wow, he must be coming back from injury or something. Yeah, there's no reason why he shouldn't be playing. I think he ended on double figures goal wise, so he's obviously decent. They're going full time now, so maybe.
Yeah, they are, aren't they?
Maybe he might not go full time. If he does, then maybe there's a chance we can get him. So, annoyingly, he probably would have been my answer to me, in all honesty, because I just remember him standing out. There's a couple of people that mentioned players that played for, and I appreciate it's people's opinions and stuff. And I'm not saying they're wrong, actually. I'm just saying how my mind works. A couple of one or two players that played for Barnet. When we played Barnet away, they were so bad I couldn't look past it.
That Marshall.
Yeah.
I think we'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, just leave it at that.
They're number eight.
Oh, God.
I hope for his sake he just had a bad morning.
Yeah. Had some bad news or something because he was awful. But yeah, they were so... You know when a team's so bad, I almost couldn't see past it. So there might have been one or two players who are actually all right, but I just couldn't see past it. I couldn't believe how bad they were. There's a couple of other teams like that.
Yeah. I remember being stood next to you that day and going like, how are these not like in the bottom three?
And annoyingly, we sort of nearly threw it a bit, and 3-1 was actually a bit of a...
They flattered them.
It was...
They were awful.
Yeah, we should have battered them. Yeah. And it was all like, wow, how have we not got six goals here?
I think I know like over the course of the season, like the league table doesn't lie and all that, and the teams that have gone down ultimately were the ones that over 45 games or whatever it was, not been good enough. But for an individual game that I've watched Southend play, I thought Barnet were the worst.
I did as well. Yeah, they were so bad.
I thought they were pathetic.
Yeah. Yeah, it was so bad, wasn't it? Everything about them. I have thought of two other players, actually.
Go on.
One actually played for Weymouth. I think he faded in the second half badly for me.
I know the other one.
It was a centre mid called, was it Moussa? I think he was a centre mid called Moussa. He just looked quite classy on the ball.
Was it not Mufasa?
I don't know. I think it might be. I thought he massively failed the second half.
Apologies if he listens and we've got his name completely wrong.
Yeah, I'm sure he's a diehard. But he had a bit about him, but I personally thought he massively failed the second half. So I'd like to hope that was maybe a fitness thing.
Again, I'll try and look him up.
The other one, I don't actually know his name, but he plays for Solihull. He's like a little winger.
I thought you were going to go. There was another little winger at Dover.
No, do you know? Because I know why you said that, but he's on loan from King's Lynn, so they're saying it weird there. Because
he's on loan from King's Lynn.
Yeah, he was actually really decent in the next one, so I'd rather just stay clear of that because obviously it's weird there. But I can't think of it.
If you've gone on loan from King's Lynn to Dover.
Yeah, I'd rather just stay clear of that, to be honest. But I can't think of his name. But he's a little winger that plays for Solihull, and he definitely got double figures this year. I think he'd be one to look
at. It's me that got his name wrong. Omar Moussa.
He is Moussa,
isn't
he?
That's his name, yeah. 21.
Yeah, that Weymouth centre-mid, is it?
Yeah, but his previous club's Dover.
Oh, really? That's interesting. But he just had a bit of class about him. So it might be
worth
having a
look at
that. I say he failed. But apart from that, I'm not going to say not standouts in the sense of everyone else was crap. There's some really good players in this league, actually. But I just think in terms of like standard... Centre-half for Willstone was decent when we played him.
Was that who I'm thinking
Cook,
of
was
then?
It? Quite tall, I think he had a longish hair, like a bit of a slip back hair. He was decent. So
that might be who I'm thinking of.
He was decent. Just sort of had a touch of class, read a lot, composed, things you'd want really. I think there's a lot of players at this level that, again, you could easily sort of pick and go, he'd be decent. It's the one below, I think, that's going to be our sort of gold mine, if you know, so to speak.
Yeah.
Again,
you've got to look at the ones that we're obviously not only looking local because we pulled the likes of Powell, Cardwell, even Neil was playing at Kettering. We've pulled all them three in from the north.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's you've got a couple of teams just over the water in Dartford and Ebbsfleet.
Yeah.
One of them might still come up.
Yeah.
I
watch a YouTube series on Dorking. It's called, from a channel called A Bunch of Amateurs. Just watch it if it's really decent. But it follows Dorking. It follows other teams as well, but it follows Dorking mainly at the moment. And it's like a behind the scenes stuff, and you get some pitch eye stuff. And their striker has got 30 goals. Alfred Rutherford.
Rutherford.
Yeah. we've got to at least have a look at that, because he's decent as well. You know, I appreciate anyone can sort of look good in YouTube highlights, but you're actually watching. I'm watching extended highlights here.
He's
got 30 goals.
He's scored 31 goals.
Yeah, like. So he's they're a decent team actually, but he's certainly one to look at. Certainly one to look at. A couple of other players at that level definitely are standouts. Even just from almost watching the highlights I do on there, you see some other team players.
This is what opposition decent, players,
you know.
Right?
So,
where do you think then? Obviously, there's going to be a number of players we're going to have to bring in because we've let. Was it all in 20 go?
Four loanees
go.
Yeah, all the loanees and
players.
Yeah, 20.
So I'm not going to say where do we need to strengthen because it's going to ultimately be everywhere.
Yeah, yeah, you can't really say that.
But where, if I was to say to you, like your first signing, what position do you think our first signing is going to be?
I think it's going to be.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Okay. So, what do you think it's going to be, and where would you make it if you're making the first signing?
If I was making the first signing, I'd go for. See, I'm almost still on the fence here, but it'd be either a centre half or a centre mid.
Right.
And you want it to be someone you. I'm not necessarily saying a name, but you want it to be someone. So it's a centre half. I want someone sort of quite young and almost maybe 6'3", and you know he sort of heads everything, almost in the mould of the power. I appreciate he's almost a dream, but like. You know, in that sort of mould, you know, can carry it out from the back quite well. Yeah, good talker, edges it and kicks it. That's, you know, just a proper centre half. Or I say either a centre mid, because I think at the moment we're left with Hussein.
Yeah.
So we need a centre mid.
Obviously,
going to get one.
We've released Atkinson, and Neil's gone back. So
and Agogo.
So we've got one centre mid.
And we sold Ferguson. Let him go. But. And Phillips, you know one.
Yeah.
So that's me. So it's one of them. So
I think centre mid is going to be the area that gets padded out the most. Like we need to make like honest 3 to 4 signings.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
But where I'd go, and it's a strange one actually. I'd go left back.
Would you?
Yeah, I think he's going to view Ralph as a left-sided centre half.
Yeah, it depends on the shape. Let's assume it is going to be the same shape.
But
to make it easier.
Yeah, I just...
Because that does just leave just Clifford.
But
and he's hit and miss in terms of his fitness.
It's not in terms... I rate him.
Yeah.
Not fit enough.
Nah.
Doesn't play enough.
Yeah. I think the... If I was the management, I would almost be a bit clever with the deal. So I wouldn't necessarily offer him a straight up 2-year deal. It would almost be a one with the option to extend and stuff like that. Because ultimately, you know, we have to be intelligent, I think, with our transfers and signings this year. And that includes people that are re-signing.
Mm.
I actually do like Clifford. I think he's a good player. But his fitness is certainly questionable in terms of his little injuries he gets. But I do make you right. I actually can't think of any left-backs that really sort of stood out in terms of playing against us. Probably ones at the top team, of course. But, you know, that's a different story, really.
Well, again, you are right in what you say. It is also, it's heavily going to depend on the shape we go with.
Yeah.
Like I said at the start, if you're...
It's forward or back.
If you're really going for it, yeah, you don't really want to be playing 5 at the back.
Yeah. Well, and if you do, you need confident centre-halves that don't mind bringing the ball out and almost step into the midfield, so
you need
to speak.
Them all good on the ball.
Yeah,
you can't really be in that situation where you're playing 5 at the back because you're protecting one of them.
Yeah, so, yeah, I understand your point, though. But, yeah, if it's 4 at the back, I mean, Clifford and Ralph, probably being the number one at that point. Yeah, I guess it changes it up a bit.
But if we're playing a flat back 4, I think Ralph's the first choice left back without a shadow of a doubt.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he's a bit better defensively as well, isn't he? So,
very good in the air as well for someone that's not that tall.
Yeah, yeah. I will answer. I think the first time we're going to make, actually, I'm going to say he'll be defender. Don't necessarily, maybe not position wise, right or left back, whatever, or centre half, but I'm going to say it's to be a defender. I think that'll be the first place we'll look at.
Mm.
I reckon we're almost going to build from the base upwards, so to speak, in terms of signings. We go, right, let's get the defence sorted, then midfield. I think if you can get a box-to-box midfielder, like a sort of row, almost a bit... Well, I mean, Neil would be great, obviously, but you know, one of them, you know, doesn't mind a tackle, sort of gets up, runs with the ball a bit. Again, it's almost, they're dream players, but I think they're out there.
We've proved they're out there.
Yeah, if you can get someone in that sort of mould, I think we're laughing, really, because you're looking at it and think, right, we've got such a good spine here that, you know, going forward, it's almost like the little extra bits of quality you add in here and there and just make a good squad.
Yeah.
You know, we're probably going to have a squad of, what, 25?
Yeah.
So I think, yeah, I think we won't.
Like,
and I think in the moment, what's it, 15 maybe?
We'll let 20 players go. We're not going to bring that in.
No, of course not. What do you reckon? 8 to 10 maybe?
8 to 10.
Is that sort of figure?
8 to 10.
And that will obviously include loan players.
You got to roll with a smaller squad.
Oh, definitely. It was too big. Far too big.
Too big.
Yeah. And I appreciate it was kind of almost padded out because we had a lot of...
We've let a squad go.
Yeah.
We've let an entire squad go. Yeah. 20 players.
We've literally a squad. Not even a starting 11 with subs. It's a squad. So, a lot of them, I say, I appreciate were youngsters, or at the time were youngsters when they signed deals, but they added to the squad, unfortunately. So,
yeah.
So, what are your hopes for next season? I think it's obvious, but I mean,
I'm sorry, this is where I get quite brutal. It's got to be top 7.
Yeah, I do agree.
If we're sitting here this time next year and we've not got in the playoffs as an absolute minimum, we've had a poor season.
No, I do agree. And this is obviously a reason for that. We can see it. It's an obvious one.
Mm.
You know, like basically like this season, you go, well, obviously, you know, look what we have. But I do tend to agree, really. It puts a lot of pressure on everyone. And you don't want to necessarily...
Yeah, I will also say that I understand it's not going to be easy to do that.
No, of course not.
I think we...
I'm not saying I almost demand it, but I do kind of expect it.
I think as a fan base, we got to be careful how we manage our own expectations.
Yeah, and we're kind of saying we need to get playoffs.
Yeah, it's a little bit hypocritical. Yeah. But what I mean is, I think that ultimately has to... Do you know what? I'm going to say it. You've got to sit out next season to try and win the league.
I think you have to, because you can't fall short of wanting to get the top 7.
Fair enough. If you go for it and obviously you don't do it, you've got 6 playoff spots to fall back on.
Yeah.
If you set out with the mentality to try and finish 7th, where's your fallback plan?
Yeah.
No, you ain't got one. Definitely.
I do generally believe that there's a good spine there of a at least a top 7 team, though.
There's got to be a top 7 team.
Because I just think that they are good enough. Well, I look at that team, like, or the squad we've got left, and I think they are good enough.
So you look at... So, I know it's all... It's all the benefit of hindsight stuff, but had the season started when Mayer came in, even with the rough start that he had, we'd have been 9th.
Right.
So in an ideal world, you take Stockport and Wrexham out of the equation. If Wrexham go up, Stockport have obviously already gone up. I think with them two gone, then the two that are coming down... And
they're a bit of a basket case.
It levels the playing field so much.
Yeah.
Oldham and Scunthorpe, I'll go on record right now and say they'll do nothing. They'll be closer to going again.
Yeah. Again, unless they get bought out,
the teams that are coming up, I'm not saying they're going to struggle, but they're not going to challenge.
Well, they're part time.
So I think you get rid of Stockport, you get rid of Wrexham in an ideal world. That totally levels the playing field. And as I say, if you were to start the season from when Kevin Mayer first came in, even including Stockport and Wrexham, we're 9th.
Yeah.
So get rid of them. We're already in that top 7.
Yeah.
And that's
a fair point to put in. It's a good way of looking at it.
And that's over the equivalent of 2/3 of a season.
Yeah. And that's ultimate. And do you know what? At the same time, it's probably testament to the impact that the management team have had that we're both saying that. Because had they have come in and we finished, say, 18th, I wouldn't be saying we need top 7 next year. Because I'd actually be like, you know what, that was such a poor year. I would take just finishing mid-table.
We've actually seen that we can be good.
Yeah. In quite a short space of time, really. The actual change in terms of the mentality of what I was watching on the pitch, even in some of the games we were losing early on, I thought was massive.
Mm.
There were certain games we were losing, and I was like, but the change is massive there, I think. What we were trying to do, and even just like the players' confidence of it in themselves was massive.
Yeah.
And I think that was testament to what they've done. So, yeah, it's like, I'm going to argue they've put the pressure on themselves a bit, but
but that's the nature of it, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a fickle sport, isn't it? So it's just what it is, but...
If they'd come in and it hadn't worked out, you'd have people calling for their heads.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Imagine they finish 18th.
Yeah.
You probably people looking at it going, we sort of went out on a limb, so to speak, to get a new structure in, and it hasn't worked at all. And I kind of understand it. I wouldn't be calling for it unless it was somehow worse, of course. But I mean, I'm going to put it on record and say that's impossible.
It couldn't have got worse. I think for so many times people said that over the last 3-year period, I think we'd surely reached a stage where it couldn't possibly have got worse.
No. It couldn't have got worse. It couldn't. And
there was protests on the pitch.
Yeah.
It can't get worse than
no,
that.
No, it actually can't get it, can it really? Yeah, I think the four that are coming up, or at least the two that are definitely coming up, and then the other four that are in the playoffs. I don't know if I'm right in saying it. I'm assuming they're all part-time.
I would have thought so.
I don't know. York, if they come up, are they part-time? There's a big club in fairness of the Conference North.
It is, but they really...
They've been there a couple of years now, so that's quite an expense to pay out at that level.
Yeah.
If you're full-time, so... I don't know. I say that's of my knowledge. Yeah, I don't know. But either way, if they are part time, then you're not really expecting them to push beyond mid table, really.
No.
So it's certainly a from the well, looking at now, it certainly appears to be an easier division.
Yeah.
In my opinion, I don't know if that's just maybe a bit of. Well, stop putting Wrexham going. That makes it easier because look at the money that Wrexham have got. So if they go up,
Wrexham have got £1 million.
Absolute touch if they go up, especially for me bet. So, whereas if they don't go up, but it might be an absolute whitewash next year with them, and it'll just be basically 6 teams going for playoffs, or sorry, 12 teams going for playoffs.
Yeah,
and so then we know
who's going to win it.
Yeah, so let's just hope that that is the case.
Yeah, because no, you are right. If Wrexham were to somehow not go up, well, say somehow, they could easily not go up.
Easy.
We know that the
pressure's
playoffs,
on them.
Playoffs are a lottery, yeah.
The pressure's on them. It's not on the other, it's on them.
100%. And, you know, really, I saw someone tweet, you know, they spent all that money and realistically they finished 1 point above Halifax.
Yeah, which is quite funny.
It is quite funny.
It's quite funny when you put it like that.
But
They did turn it around, but I mean, they had to spend that sort of money, but...
But they have still conceded a lot of goals.
Yeah.
They've won a lot of games like... 5-3.
Yeah, well,
6-5.
What was it? Losing like 4-5 on a dome or something. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, but so they're far from the finished article.
Mm.
But as I say, I do want them to go up.
Yeah, I do. Just to get rid of them. Just to get them gone. Just to get them gone.
Yeah, because I think in the long run it helps a club like us.
Yeah.
Because as I say, I think it just completely levels the playing field.
Yeah.
For next season.
Right. I mean, it's not a massive turnaround in terms of when the season starts from now.
No,
because the season appears to have ended late. Even though the Prem is still going on, I guess, it feels like it's ended really late.
Well, I think I'm right. The National League playoff final is actually in June.
Really?
I think it's the first weekend of June.
I'm pretty sure the players go back.
Well, hang on. We're the 19th of May now. The playoffs of this league haven't even started yet.
That's a fair point, yeah. That's a fair point. I think, non-league cup final weekend.
That's this weekend, isn't
it? This weekend, yeah. So they're in that.
The Vars and the Trophy.
They're in the Trophy.
Yeah, they are. Wrexham Bromley, isn't it?
Yeah, so that's kind of an interesting matchup, actually, because Bromley really did slip.
Yeah, they proper faded.
But maybe they were just putting it all on going to Wembley. Because I'm going to be ignorant here and assume it's the first time they've been to Wembley, Bromley. I don't know, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I would.
Maybe at least the new Wembley. I don't know. I don't really follow. I never used to follow the lower leagues that well, so.
No. I'm going to check quickly to see if I can find out when the...
not a massive turnaround. Husin's got international football in that. He's probably going to have about 2 weeks off.
Yeah.
Which maybe that's doing well, actually. I don't know, really. I can't think, because I'm assuming he is a full-time footballer. He hasn't got work.
Yeah.
So that probably helps. Potentially a little pre-season trip in there, apparently.
Yeah.
So either... Was it Ireland or Scotland?
Ireland or Scotland, I've heard.
I'm assuming that is allowed to be said.
We've said it now, haven't we?
Well, I think so. I think it's probably main that.
Well, the day after this goes out, there might be a bulletin goes out that the Custard Splat podcast has been cancelled.
Yeah.
I have just found here that the National League playoffs don't start till Monday.
Oh, okay.
The 23rd.
Okay. So, of course, the actual playoffs haven't even started. It's not even been decided.
They've not even done the semis.
Yeah, of course.
Well, in this league, it's quarters, isn't it?
The eliminator.
No, it's the quarters. Yeah. I am not calling it an eliminator. Yeah. We're not on gladiators.
Yeah. I think a nice pre-season trip would be nice, actually, wouldn't it? Sound different.
So, yeah.
Sound different, you know. Yeah. I hope it's actually Scotland, because we went to Ireland this year. Well, a couple of months ago. So I'd like to go to Scotland.
You've not been, have you?
I've never been. I feel like one of them weirdos that's just stayed in his own house. Yeah, the ones that...
Yeah, we're not in lockdown anymore.
They've never been further than like London.
You can go. Never been outside your own.
I feel like one of them. Well, I haven't, by the way, but you get my point.
Well, that's why you don't go to games, don't
you? Yeah, that's true, yeah. Don't go to games. Only 44 this year.
Yeah. Now, so what we've got with the National League playoffs is Halifax are playing Chesterfield in a quarter final.
Yeah. Yeah.
The winner will play Wrexham.
Wrexham beat them.
Notts County, Grimsby, the winner.
I'm going to go out there and say Grimsby.
I'm going to go Grimsby. And then, obviously, the winner of Notts and Grimsby will play Solihull. And then, obviously, the two winners of that will play each other in the final.
Yeah, I'm going to say, yeah.
What's your playoff final then? Go on, predict the playoff final.
Wrexham versus... I'm going to say Wrexham versus Solihull. Is that possible?
That's possible. Yeah.
I think Grimsby will beat Thingy, but then they'll lose to Solihull. Is that right? They play Solihull for that?
Yeah. So the winner would play. So I'm going to go, my prediction for the playoff final is Wrexham Grimsby.
Yeah. It's funny I'm saying that because I actually thought Notts County were better than Grimsby, but their form seems to have picked up.
They could have peaked at the right time.
Yeah, and that always helps, doesn't it? Because I was actually... A lot of people didn't really. I'm not necessarily because they thought they were crap, because they're obviously not. But when we lost 3-0 to them, because we were poor, a lot of people didn't really rate them. Notts County, but I just thought they didn't even get out of first gear.
Nah, it was one.
And
of
that
them,
for me, when you watch a team cruise here, I think, well, they must have. They
yeah, because it's like, oh, they weren't even that good. It's, they didn't have to be.
They didn't have to be. I mean, I remember watching this going, what, they're taking a mickey a bit. Yeah, they're not really. Not that they're not trying, but it was easy for them.
It was a bit of a training game, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was like a attack me defence sort of thing. So, but yeah, that's my prediction. Let's get them gone and then break some maze, and then build on for next year.
Yeah,
we might as well wrap it up there. But before we do, we might as well mention the two games
the first one,
of course, is John White's testimonial.
Yeah,
I think it's quite a nice thing actually to do that, because obviously technically he hasn't been in 10 years. But he did have the couple of months service before that, didn't he, if you remember, under Tilly, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So, in my opinion, I think...
When you've played close to 300 games for a club, and not only that as well, I think it's incredibly rare that you get one player that's spent getting on for 10 years at two different clubs in the same county and played almost an equal amount of games for both of those clubs.
Yeah.
That's an incredible servant to Essex football.
Yeah. I mean, he's had a good career when you look at it.
He's had a great career.
And he's had a lot of injuries, little ones that kept him out, and especially probably the last 2-3 years.
Yeah. He could have obviously played a lot more than he has.
Yeah. But, I think it's testament to the bloke that even Wimborne Town are bringing a minibus for fans.
Bringing a minibus.
I think that's really...
He played about 10 games.
I think that's a really nice thing to say, and it's. I think that's a testament to him, actually.
Yeah, definitely. I think that sums up the sort of person that he is.
I think it'd be nice to get as many people to that as possible.
Yeah.
Just to sort of want to say, like, thanks. I know some people don't say, what do you mean, thanks? He's a footballer. But, it's nice to see players that haven't actually took the piss. Because we've had a couple of chances in the last few years.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God, yeah.
That have completely tossed it off, to be honest with you, when it mattered. And he weren't one of them.
Yeah, it's kind of unfortunate that, he was the club captain, but he, for the last, 3 years that we've gone on the spiral that we have. That's the only sad thing, really, We had that incredible moment at Wembley, and we've slid all the way back down to depths that we've never been before.
Yeah.
So that's the only sad sort of caveat to it.
Yeah.
But, it'll be a good day, and hopefully he gets a send-off that he deserves.
It was a good send-off against Torquay, actually. I thought bringing him on for that, because actually as the time was ticking on, I kind of thought, well, is he not going to bring him on here? I was like, he's got to bring him on.
I thought the red card might have screwed him.
Yeah, I did. I was like, this might have like screwed him over a bit here. But actually getting that sort of, I think it was what, 5-10 minutes maybe?
Mm.
I actually thought that was almost perfect in a way. Went to right back.
He went old school right
went
back.
Went old school right back. he even had a couple of them sort of like chip through balls over the top, that sort of,
the classic White.
The classic John White over the top ball. I think it'd be nice to pack that out as much as we can. I'm not necessarily saying, 5,000, of course, we wouldn't get that for a JPT game, so you're probably not going to get that for a testimonial.
We're not going to get that to an hour, are we?
If you can get close 1,500, 2,000, that sort of number, 1,500, 2,000, I think that's a good
start. It is the end of the season as well, so you've got a lot of people.
What's your favourite John White moment, actually?
The red kick.
Against Sunderland?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's brilliant, isn't it? Mate? I was annoyed you were going to say that.
I saw John White scoring over
I'm going to have to change that. Actually, do you know what? No, I'm not going to say Colchester, because that was brilliant. That was brilliant. The fact he sort of didn't know what to do, he didn't necessarily want to celebrate.
He sort of got pushed into it.
Everyone was like grabbing him, like, come on, get over here, sort of thing. And it was a great goal as well. I'm going to say, it probably technically wasn't his goal, but it didn't matter, because I was there to see John White's first ever professional goal.
The Scunthorpe one.
Yeah. Where it probably technically weren't his goal, but he got given it,
yeah.
So it doesn't matter.
I was there
to see that, and I'm going to say that, to see
I was there.
John White, and I think that made it 2-2 as well, so it actually meant something.
Yeah.
I was there to see John White's first professional goal in football, so I'm going to pick that as my
fair play. I can't argue with that.
But yeah, and again, before we do go, we obviously won't mention the other one, the Memorial game for Chris Barker.
The following week. Yeah, obviously, yeah. So should say, John White's game is this Sunday.
Yeah, of course, yeah, it's this Sunday.
Sunday,
yeah.
Not Saturday.
What is that?
The 22nd. It's the 22nd.
Yeah, 22nd. So yeah. That's John White's
game. I saw there was some confusion also, yeah, whether it would be like Saturday, Sunday. No, it's Sunday. It's being combined, obviously. Yeah. Obviously,
it's also the Rivals United charity game.
It's been combined with Riley's game to raise funds for the Justin Edinburgh Foundation. Yeah, there's like a Leighton Orient team coming down as well. So that should be a really good day, actually.
Yeah.
A lot of hard work's gone into that.
Yeah,
from everyone involved. So yeah, come along and support that. And then the following week on the Saturday, this time Saturday 28th, is the game for Chris Barker, which. Tickets are available on the day. A couple of people have actually messaged us. Tickets are available on the day, if you were wondering. £5 adults, £1 on the 16s. Every penny going to, I've got to get this right now, it's South East and Central Essex Mind, is that it?
It might be that, yeah.
It's SECE.
Yeah.
South East and Central Essex, yeah. South East and Central Essex Mind. Every penny is going to them. Chris Phillips, that is, has actually got some... very nice auction items coming. I won't say what they are, because he's not put them all out there yet.
But we're
aware of some bits that he's got coming in. And there's some very nice bits of memorabilia there.
There's been
some good money.
There's been some great generosity from people, actually.
Yeah, there really
has. There's really been some great generosity from people.
Pretty cool that he's got that plaque, the FA Cup.
Yeah.
That is out there. You can bid us up. I'm not spoiling anything by saying
I think it's about £300 already, to be fair.
Yeah.
Because it is quite a cool. For those who don't know what it is, it was like 150 years FA Cup sort of plaque that was behind on Match of the Day, where in the studio,
the live broadcast,
and Lineker, Shearer, and Mika Richards have signed it. So it's a pretty.
It's cool.
Yeah. I'll be honest with you. If I could afford it, I'd the space. Should I say? I'd bid for it.
Oh yeah,
just saying that I would. But I just ain't got the space for
it. It's a proper it's a man cave item. That,
yeah, it's a great piece of memory. Woman cave. That. No. Yeah, sorry, cave.
Yeah, it's a cave item.
Person cave. And again, similar going to be with Riley and John's game, but people are taking time out to play in this, ex-players and sort of
some of them doing double duty as well, aren't they? They're playing the 2 weeks. Hopefully no one gets injured in the first one.
there'll definitely be some injuries. Luckily we've got a couple of physios and that on site.
A couple of them have already got injured.
we
won't name any names, but it's stressful organising a game, and we're just sort of we're only really assisting Chris.
Yeah, not really. I'm pretty useless.
Some of the
assisting in terms of saying
we had a chat with Chris at the start of the week, and his words, it's become my full-time job.
Just
hope people really appreciate what does go into something like that, and if you don't fully understand, that's fine, but I guess what I'm saying is just be nice to people, because a lot of work's gone into it.
The next two games you've got this faint one ex-player, now ex-player, it's weird to say actually, and then remember another one, so
yeah.
Probably a good way to end it, actually.
We'll leave it there.
Thanks for listening, and we'll be here in the pre-season.
What are we going to do? We're going to say see you next season, or we're going to have...
We might as well do it at the start of the pre-season, maybe.
We're not going to have anything to talk about in between.
Unless we have a mental rush of signings, which actually could happen.
Yeah.
I'm not... That can't be ruled out.
Yeah.
So...
But unless we can get a guest on, you probably won't hear from us till August.
Yeah, which July, actually is July, again as a shout for that as well, actually. So yeah, but we'll just say July, make it easier.
We've made a right pig's ear.
Yeah, yeah.
We should have just said bye.
Yeah, we're just talking about the bollocks now.
Right. See you later.
Bye.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. We understand that the journey as a supporter isn't always smooth sailing, but rest assured you're not alone. There's a vast network of fellow fans who share your passion and may be experiencing similar challenges. Honesty is key in any relationship. If your friend asks you how you are feeling, tell them honestly. If you're going through a difficult time, let them know. Opening up about how you are feeling can really make a difference. After all, they are your mates for a reason. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.